Amen. I'm glad to be here. It's funny, a lot of people talk junk about where I work, and I can't say nothing good about them. I'm just kidding. They have been extremely good to me. They pay me well. Damon often likes to joke around, and he asked us one time to raise a hand if you think you're overpaid. And I was the only one in the whole church who raised my hand. I was like, man, I don't know what I'm doing. It's the Lord. It ain't me when I do a good job. But I am so grateful for this opportunity. I'm going to start out in Job 19 at verse 23. For the longest time growing up, I always thought that was Job. And I don't know how it's pronounced Job. It don't make sense to me. It's the same word, except with a capital letter. Job 19. Oh, that my words were not written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. 24, okay, all right. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh, look at the person beside you, say, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for tonight, Lord. I want to thank you for everybody coming out, Lord. God, I just ask you, Lord, that you move me aside, Lord, and you just use me as a conduit for you, Lord. I don't want to get in the way, Lord. I just want your spirit to take place, Lord, and take hold, God. I know that you can show up, show out, and show off, Lord, and that's what I'm asking you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Man, we've had a good revival. I am so glad that my work allowed me to switch my schedule. I went in on, I think it was Friday, the day before I was supposed to switch to evening shift the next week, and I asked about, this is just how good God is and how cool, quote-unquote, coincidences happen when you're a Christian. I went and asked my boss. I said, hey, man, I said, we got three electricians on my crew, and the other crew's only got two electricians. I said, can I just work day shift next week? My church is having a revival. And he goes, you're killing me. Let me go talk to Susan. That's our HR lady. She's literally in the hallway, and we have a pretty big little complex. I think that's the fancy word they call it. She's literally already down, not nowhere near where she's normally at, right there in his office. She asks. She has no problem with it. And I'm like, thank you, God. Thank you, because that was God. And, man, it is just, it's an awesome privilege to get to be here. I want to talk about the whole central theme of the Bible tonight. Does anybody know what that is? It's Jesus. It's Christ. It's Jesus. I just want to dive into how all scriptures point towards Christ. I want to try to be plain. I want to try to be clear. And sometimes it seems like it's hidden away in the Old Testament. Sometimes it's laid out pretty clearly, like how I pointed out in Job. Because Job says in plain English that he knows his Redeemer lives. The book of Job, scholars would tell you, is the oldest book in your Bible. And as a younger person, as a younger kid, as a younger Christian, I always thought to myself, how is it older than Genesis? Genesis is literally when man got made. So who wrote the book if it's older than that? It wasn't before I began to learn through biblical history and stuff that Moses was the one who wrote the first five books of the Bible. And the scholars, how they know this, I don't know, but they're smarter than me, so I rely on their knowledge. But they tell us that the book of Job was penned sometime around when Abraham, in that age. So the book of Job could possibly predate the covenant of Abraham, and it definitely predates the Mosaic Law. Yet, while Job was in his affliction, let me back up and tell you about Job. The Bible says Job was a perfect man. He was a righteous man, and that he hated evil. He had a lot of good things going for him. He was wealthy. He was blessed with a big family. And I think he had a loving wife, but I'm not so sure as the scriptures progress. One thing he did not have going for him, he did not have good friends. Some would say, with friends like his, who needs enemy? What happens with Job's life is he has all these things going for him, yet God wants to test him. Not the devil, But God wants to test him. And God says to Satan, have you tried my servant Job? And things begin to happen to Job that he can't quite understand or quite explain. He loses his wealth. He loses his all of the livestock that he has. He loses his kids, his houses, and all the things that he held dear to him, as we all would. If you lost your kids, you would be heartbroken. Yet Job never cursed the Lord. Never did. He was mad at God, understandably, but he never cursed God. And man, it's such a remarkable thing. And then in the midst of all this, he says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand on that latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He was standing on something that told him on the inside. You see, he had to have a relationship with God. Even though the law wasn't given yet, even though the covenant wasn't given yet, he had to have trusted God and known God. And God must have spoken to him, because somehow he knew that a Redeemer was coming. That somehow the Redeemer was coming, and he was going to get a new body. That old things were going to pass away, and new things, oh, completely new things were going to come. Oh man, he got to see God. You see, if you love Scripture and you study out the Bible, you understand that you couldn't see God in the Old Testament. Matter of fact, Moses was the only one who kind of got to see him. He got to see the back half of him. That's where a lot of people think that the Torah was revealed to him, the first five books of the Bible. But Moses, that dude got to glow up after that. These girls don't know anything. These Snapchat filters ain't got nothing on that type. Man. Yet, here in the New Testament, it's funny. We see all throughout the Old Testament, Christ just kind of pop up and preluded. But as Minister Chuck Missler says, and he says it about every time I listen to him preach, the Old Testament is Christ concealed, but the New Testament is Christ revealed. In Genesis, Jesus Christ is the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he is our high priest. In Numbers, he is the pillar of cloud by day, and he is the pillar of fire by night. He is our present help. When you need him, he is there, whether it be night, whether it be dark, whether the angels coming. Oh, I'm telling you right now. Oh, do you know Jesus? Man, I want to talk about the Lord tonight. Is that okay with y'all? In Exodus, I'm going to switch gears a little bit. In Exodus chapter 17, verse 15, you ain't got to look it up. I got it here, unless if you just want to look it up. It says, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Jehovah Nissi, that means the Lord is my banner. In Exodus 15, the Lord will reveal himself in another way as Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals. Who knows the God as a healer? In Psalms 23, he would reveal himself in another way. It would be called Jehovah Ra. The Lord is my shepherd is how that is spelled out. But oh, I'm here to tell you, in Genesis and Job, he revealed himself as El Shaddai, the Almighty One. But I'm here to tell you, there is a name that is above all them names. There is a name that no other man that can be saved by, and that name is Jesus. He is Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Oh, I'm so glad God would reveal himself in these ways to the Israelites and he would give them revelations. But the problem is they would keep messing up. They would get good for a little bit. God would heal their land. And then it would be like the next chapter. Like, what are you doing, man? You're missing it. Oh, man, but God was working on something. In Isaiah 7, verse 14. I told you I was getting a little ahead of myself. Isaiah 7, verse 14. I never will understand how it just, I've never got to see the Red Sea part, but there were people who got to walk on dry ground, literally bondage behind them. There's the owners of who there used to be owners behind them, and God closed it up on the Egyptians, and they got to see these things. And then to beat that, God literally showered down their food and their provision that they needed. and they got to enjoy that. And yet they still bickered. I was like, what is this Moses guy doing? If I see a sea split, I'm like, all right, man, I'm sold. You got me. Tell me where to go, brother. I trust you. I just don't understand. Maybe it's the, I don't know. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. I heard you say, Johnny, God with us. Emmanuel means God with us. I don't know where a lot of people stand. I know our church is kind of put together of some different theological backgrounds. I know some people are Baptist, Pentecostal, Apostolic. The list goes on. And I love it because I think that we all should have the same goal in mind. We should all be preaching the gospel and the good news and breaking chains for people. And we should all be living instruments of Christ. I'm on board with it. But I'm probably going to start talking a little bit of stuff that makes some people mad. But I've heard Damon say one time that if you're not winning souls or making people mad, you're probably not preaching about the right stuff. Emmanuel, God with us. I'm here today to tell you that it wasn't enough for God to reveal attributes of his character because the Israelites proved it time and time again. Even with miraculous signs, they would fail and let him down. No, God, he rolled up his sleeves and he said, you know what? I'm going to go myself. I'm not sending another sign. I'm going to wrap myself in flesh and dwell among men. I'm going to show them how you can live it, that it can be done, that through me, all things truly are possible. Oh, let me liberate you. Let me just go ahead and announce to you. Through Jesus Christ, you truly are more than a conqueror. You don't have to walk in defeat. You don't have to walk in sorrow. There is peace. There is joy. All living for God isn't about following a rule book. It's about walking in authority and having dominion over the things around you. Hallelujah. Oh, I just want to thank you, Jesus. Man, so many times, like Damon said, it's Wednesday. We've had church 4 days in a row. An awesome job, Pastor. You've killed it. You really have. Sunday he preached about not fainting while you're praying, not falling asleep, being fervent in your prayers. On Monday, he talked about the cause and the effect, to not let the effects outweigh the cause. We have a cause. On Tuesday, what did you preach about? No, on Tuesday, I really did blank just now. What did you preach about? I'm blank too. Oh, my goodness. Hey, I think he said something along the lines of that we are more than overcomers through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We must testify about how great the blood of the Lamb is, how it is still applied and how it can still be applied to your life. Your life, you don't have to be bound by sin. Oh, hallelujah, how great of a God we got. Oh, Jesus, he is the name above all names. There is no greater revelation that you're going to get about God than Jesus Christ, than his son. I'm here to tell you, if you have a relationship with his son, that's what the Israelites were missing. The signs and wonders were cool. The dry ground, I bet, was fun to walk in. But let me tell you what's better than a Red Sea tearing. When the veil tore in two and bondage really had to take a back seat. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, man, I'm so glad that my salvation isn't in my hands because I would mess it up. I would muck it up. I know me. I can't manage my own money. I have to rely on my wife to do that. And we're still broke. She can't do it very good either. Listen, I know me. I know me. I make mistakes still. We were talking about it. Me and this guy named Kenny. I got to work with some new guys. There's a Christian that works with me, and I'm pretty pumped about that. I ain't got to work with a Christian in a while. And we were talking, and he somehow found out I was a preacher, probably because everybody would ask me why I was on that shift. I was like, well, man, my church is having a revival, and I really wanted to go. And then they would ask, and it just somehow came up. And he was talking to me about how much he loved God. And man, it's encouraging to be around a brother in Christ, especially in a terrible environment. I don't know if you know this or not, but the Bible tells you, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And man, so Megan, if you ever think I'm grouchy when I would come home, it's because of work. It's not me. Jesus Christ is the ultimate answer. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Nobody's going to go to the Father. Nobody's going to make it unless if it's under the blood of Christ. And I'm telling you, it's free. Freely he gives it to you. Freely he gives it to you. It didn't cost me a thing. No, it didn't cost me a thing. However, to God, it cost him the ultimate sacrifice. Oh, man, I think of the Garden of Gethsemane, him praying, let this cup pass from me. And I just can't help but get my mind, because, man, I couldn't imagine the immense pressure. He that knew no sin was about to become sin so that anybody in this room could become the righteousness of God in him. Listen. If you are justified, if you are redeemed, if you are a blood-bought, born-again Christian, if you believe Jesus died for you, got back up for you, and put his spirit in you, there is nothing that you can't conquer. There is nothing you can't set your mind to. Oh, man. We got to understand we're called to be more than pew warmers. We've been made new not to just look good, no. We've been made new for a purpose. We have a mission. We should be going out door front, praying, fasting. Jason, thank you. Thank you for praying with me for a week. Man, me and Jason gave up our phones and done some other stuff. And, man, it was powerful. It was powerful. It really was powerful. And, man, I felt like God, you know, I was praying for a specific thing. And God hasn't answered yet, but he will. He will in time. I know that for a fact. But man, a fire started to get just a little bit hotter on the inside. When you start denying your flesh and you start seeking after God, as Damon would say, Ian, stand up. Okay, I'll help you. When you draw an eye to God, he draws an eye to you. I don't want to say I'll be God, but I guess I'll be God in this analogy. I am not God. Take a step. God's steps are so much bigger than your steps. Man, I'm telling you, if you draw an eye to God, before you know it, you will be mesmerized. You will be in awe. God is the most awesome thing on this side of glory. Oh, man. Oh, man. There is no other name given under heaven that which men must be saved. I'm sorry, but Buddha, he can't do it. Inner enlightenment is impossible. I cannot do it within myself. Within myself, I am grouchy and don't like people. But man, through Christ, I can be full of love and I can affect and help people around me. I can make people hungry for the things that I have in me. Oh, man, I tell you, I read a book two years ago. I still read books, but this book's sticking out to my mind. It was about a Muslim converting to Christianity, and he was talking about how he grew up in a Islamic culture that was like pro-love, and his Quran was vastly different than the Quran that I guess you could say the radical side of Islam would use. I just want to clarify something. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Word became flesh. You see, they can't change the Word of God because it's living. It became flesh and now it dwells inside of us. They can do everything they want to twist it, to make it sound to fit their agenda. However, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that is over everything, that spoke everything in existence, he has his own plans. He has his own purpose. God is always going to raise up a person, oh man, who stands up for him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It's funny, the way I got my notes constructed, I blew through them if y'all are wondering. But the last part just says, preach Jesus. That's my final note, preach Jesus. And man, that's something I can do, and I can do effectively because, man, he has been so effective in me. In myself, I am nothing. In myself, I cannot conquer nothing. I can't be a good husband. I can't be a good dad. Oh, but through him, oh, man, all things are possible. You know, so many times in our life, I feel like we get stressed. Who gets stressed and feels like they're overwhelmed? You ever made the statement, man, I just got too much on my plate. God gave me a revelation one time. I was praying. I was like, man, I had a lot going on. I was like, God, I just need some stuff cleared off my plate. And something just hit me, and it just shook me. Why am I praying for stuff to get off my plate? I'm supposed to have domain. I'm supposed to be ruling over some things. I got a purpose. So I changed my prayer. I changed my whole thought process. I quit praying for God to take stuff off of me, and I started to pray, God, give me a bigger plate. God, let me be able to handle more, because I know in you I can do all things. I know that in you I really am more than a conqueror. Man, I'm a Jesus man. Jesus, the name above all other names. It is the name we must be saved. The Bible says the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in him. That means all of God. I'm a Jesus name man because it's all about Jesus to me. Me and my friends, we like to have these discussions and try to be theological and explain our side and his side and explain 3-1-1-3. I'm here to tell you, it's one way, it's one truth, it's one person, and if he don't get me to heaven, I ain't going to be there. It's through the finished work of Jesus Christ, the one who gave me his name, the one who gave me his righteousness. It's been imputed to me. My deeds are no longer my own deeds. No, I have the deeds of Christ working through me. Oh, man. I have his mind. He gave me his heart. He gave me his mind. He gave me a purpose. He completely revolutionized me. And, man, he can you too. There is peace serving God that is unspeakable. Me and my wife's neighbor passed away, and it was pretty gut-wrenching. But, man, he was a man of God. He was a good man of God. He pastored a church, and he was very, very, he showed me what loving thy neighbor as thyself was truly all about. He really did. He took care of my wife and my kids, and he was a really good man. And man, it bothered me, but for some reason, when I went to bed, peace. We was close to him. It stung. It stung when he passed away. But man, something just came over me at night. Peace. Peace. Not anxiety, not stress, but peace. This peace that is unspeakable, this joy that shouldn't exist in these trials and these tribulations, is purely through the Spirit working in me. It's not my own mind. I don't have a good mindset. My mindset's crazy. But when I can have the mind of Christ, when I can be in his word, when I can be communicating to him, man, I'm telling you, things begin to change. You start seeing things through different lenses. Things start becoming more clearly how wicked the world is and how good God is. How nasty the world can be and how awesome God can be. I'm closing. Man, Jesus is awesome. He is, I feel like the word awesome isn't enough. I know pastors talked about it because the word sums in there, but he is full of awe. I am encapsulated by God. I cannot get enough of how great his majesty, how great his glory, how beautiful he is. He truly is he's stunning. He is truly stunning. I cannot get, soon as I think I start figuring this stuff out, he reveals something else to me. He is a God that is living. He is not asleep, nor is he dead. He is alive and he is well. He is thriving and he is looking for a person who will serve him, not just halfway, but fully, diligently. Oh, I'm not trying to, I don't want to convert lukewarm Christians. And if I don't want to produce lukewarm Christians, then I must not be lukewarm myself. I must search myself and ask God to show me my anxieties, to show me the way I think, to show me the way I feel, and crucify it if it ain't like him. I want to be more like him. I want to be like him in the way I speak, the way I think, the way I walk, the way I talk. I have tasted and seen, and he is good. If you don't know Jesus Christ tonight, if you don't know the name that is above every other name, the most revered name in history, the name that people will be singing for eternity, not just eternity, forever and forevermore, and going to be excited about it. Oh, what kind of majesty must that be? What kind of, he's got to be immaculate. Oh, I wish you could just see it, man. Can I say that? I wish you could see it, man. Man, he truly is phenomenal. In ourselves, we are nothing, but man, through him, we can be more than conquerors. It is Christ and Christ alone that died for you. And I beseech you, I beckon you, I implore you, please search yourself. If you got something inside of you, if you got something that is not in Jesus' name, that isn't of him, that doesn't identify with him, that doesn't align with him, please get it out. Say, God, show me. I don't want to be like this world. This world is heading to a devil's hell. I don't want to be a part of that. No, I want to have life and life everlasting. I want the rivers of living water to flow out of my belly. I want to be able to speak truth and be a light to a world that desperately needs it. Oh, man, I just want to thank you, Jesus, because he is worthy of a life living for him. His name truly is above anything this world has to offer you. His name is truly greater than anything that your job can get you, that that money can buy you. I'm excited. I'm excited because I know God is moving. I felt his spirit here. We've had a great revival. Damon's done awesome. As you can tell, Damon knew I was going to do bad tonight. That's why we didn't extend the revival. I'm kidding. I'm 100% kidding. But no, God truly is a miracle worker. And I know this because I am not the same person I used to be. Old things truly have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I am a new creature in Christ. What the things I used to want, I no longer want. The things I used to desire, I no longer desire. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He took my heart of stone and gave me a heart of flesh. I beg you. I beg you. Ask God to search you. Ask God to show you what you need to change. And if you don't have a good prayer life, the altar's always open. It's as easy as asking God to come into your life and asking him to show. Just, you want to go towards God. As I showed you, his steps are much bigger than you. We can wrinkle out the rest, but man, if you just ask God to come into your life and say, I want to serve you fully, that's what he's looking for. That's what Jesus is looking for. Oh, thank you, Jesus.